Today on Real Radio.
90% of North Americans say that they believe in God. 90%. 9.7% said that they have read the Bible. Now, we're already starting to see a problem there. 90% of the people believe in God. Immediately, I want to ask, God who?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we're starting a new series here with Pastor Jack, and we're calling it What Christians Believe. Now, in this very first study, it's foundational, if you will, professing believers calling themselves Christians. But what does that term really mean? When some of these same people are asked more in-depth questions, we find out that a lot of people don't know what Christians believe. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in this first lesson of this series, simply called, What If?
What comes to your mind when you hear the word Christian? That is a poll that's going around. I read it on George Barna. He was asking people about what they think of Christianity. And maybe if you mention the word Christian, what comes to mind? And someone said, a very nice guy comes to mind when I think of the word Christian. Someone who does good, one man said on the streets of New York. Maybe someone who's an American, somebody said. Well, none of those are the right answers, but according to that Barna research poll, listen to this, 90% of North Americans say that they believe in God. 90%. 9.7% said that they have read the Bible. Now, we're already starting to see a problem there. 90% of the people believe in God. Immediately, I want to ask, God who? Which God? What God? Because 9.7% of them said that they had read the Bible. 43% claimed to be born again. One out of five of those people, though, defined or could define what born again meant. Only one out of five, out of the incredible 43%, only one out of five could say or define what born again meant. Jesus himself said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that same ratio, one out of five, could explain what biblical salvation really was. Church, that's a very dangerous finding from George Barna in his poll, that only one out of five out of that 43% could define what biblical salvation is. Do you know what that means? Honestly, according to the scripture. Now listen, it's not based upon feeling. Your salvation and my salvation is not based upon feeling. It's based upon faith. It's based upon what the scripture declares is what acceptable unto God. And as we go through this series over and over again, we will stress and we'll take great advantage of stressing that your salvation is anchored by faith in Jesus Christ alone. One man on the street responded to the question, what do Christians believe? Said, Christians believe in God. Christians do good things. And Christians believe in occasionally attending church, one man said. One Hindu man was asked in New York City, what do Christians believe? He said, I really don't know. I think that my Christian friends don't know either. When the pollsters asked him why, he said, well, the Christians should follow the teachings of Jesus. What is the teachings of Jesus, the man was asked? I really don't know. He didn't know the teachings of Christ. He knew Christians who have never told him about the teachings of Christ. But this man who's a Hindu, he was able to indict his friends who were Christians with the observation of concluding that how they live their life cannot be the teachings of Jesus. And so when you mention the word Christian or that great title, oh, I'm a Christian, the world expects certain things of you and the world expects certain things not from you. The amazing thing is we live in such a secular age. We live in such a time where the lines of what Christians believe have been so skewed and it's so gray now. in this 20th and 21st century, where it's almost a free-for-all for what you believe. And this is a very critical thing, because listen carefully, there are Christian essentials that every believer must believe in. Did you know that? You just can't say you're a Christian and then go to heaven. You need to be able to understand and define what is a Christian. What separates a Christian from a Muslim, or a Christian from a Jewish person, or a Christian from a non-believer? According to the poll, 90% of America believes in God. 43% believe they've been born again. If 43% of America was born again, there would be prayer meetings all over the nation. Our nation, you could just imagine, like what happened in the turn of the century in New York, when there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in New York. And listen, there was such a move of the Holy Spirit that Manhattan, NYPD, they had to lay off police officers. They reached a point, because crime had dropped so much, that you know what happened? Quartets were formed. The police officers, literally in New York City, stood on street corners and they sang gospel songs in New York City at the turn of the century. Can you imagine? 43%, if that were true, America, knowing Jesus Christ, it'd be an amazing nation. And yet I think we know what the truth is. If only one out of five could express or explain what being born again was all about. The title, the term, the name Christian has suffered greatly in these modern times. In our universities, in our civic centers, in our morality, in the modern movement to secularize our world, Christianity has been redefined, and it's a dangerous thing. Everybody's a Christian. I bet you if Satan showed up today, he'd call himself a Christian. Adolf Hitler believed he was a Christian. Adolf Hitler believed that God had called him to exterminate the Christ killers, the Jews. Adolf Hitler was insane and probably possessed. If you know anything about that Nazi regime and all of the demonic activity. But in the name of political correctness and neutrality, and here's my all-time favorite, as you know, the casualty among redefining words is the word tolerance. I recommend strongly that you get the oldest dictionary you can find. You've heard this before. Those of you who are visiting, you know, this would be maybe new to you, but the people have been around here a while. This is old news. If you want to do research about the meaning of a word, you go back to its oldest source. Any teenagers in here, you need to know that right now. There's a lot of redefining of words. You hear words on the street, words are mentioned, and, you know, you cringe, and then you ask somebody, what do you think that means? Well, it means this. It's not what it means. They're redefining words. The word tolerance. We hear from our secular society that has infiltrated even so-called Christian churches and Christian teaching that tolerance means you sit still, you keep your mouth shut, and you take it. Did you know that's not what tolerance means? You go ahead and buy an 1828 dictionary written by Noah Webster of the American language, English, it says. Buy it. It's fantastic. Tolerance. It means that someone that you're discussing with, someone that you are interacting with, holds a completely different view, and you allow him or her to hold that view. Tolerance is that if you're an atheist in America, the origin of our nation was freedom. And that freedom, interestingly enough, the founding fathers said under God. But you know what? The early fathers allowed atheists to live in America. Why? Do you know what the definition of that is? Tolerance. It's okay. It's your right to be an atheist. You can be an atheist. You can be an agnostic. You can be anything you want. You can be a Satanist in America. You can be anything you want. Just don't call yourself Christian. And listen, according to the true meaning of the word, if we're going to be tolerant, it means that we are going to allow other people to express their views. But what we're asking as Christians, and what we're not seeing in the world around us, because in my opinion, the Christian church has been so beaten into subjection in this secular society, is that we sit silent while the world runs us over because we do not know what we believe. and we do not stand up for what we believe because we're not sure about the platform we're standing on. Things have been so skewed and so redefined. But what I would ask, and it ain't going to happen, is that the world that is unbelieving in my God, they don't care about my Jesus, and I'm not going to force them to believe in my Jesus. I would never do that. I'm just asking for what tolerance I extend to them that they would extend back to me. And perhaps tonight, as you were coming to church or getting ready, what was all over the news and all was the big issue today about the Ten Commandments. How the Supreme Court refused to hear that argument about the Ten Commandments being allowed to stay in the capital of Alabama, where that one judge in that one courtroom building put the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, according to our founding fathers, and it's documented, this is not my opinion, it's documented that it's the Ten Commandments that's the founding judicial institution that our whole system was built upon. Not only that, but Europe claims the same thing. Did you know that? The Ten Commandments. And now America is deciding if the Ten Commandments are legal. Well, in the end, God's going to settle the score, and if you read the end of the Bible, he wins. But everything is pushing to secularize, and now churches have adopted a very neutral political correctness, a redefined tolerance, and in many cases, disobeying Scripture and the very doctrine. You cannot separate biblical doctrine from being a Christian. And so I would think, it's my thought, my human thought, that if we weather this teaching, we'll be much better off in the end, at the end of this series. Some people may come to know Christ through it, I trust. Some people may find out, you know what, after hearing what the Bible says and as going through verse by verse or book by book and finding out, I don't want to be a Christian. I thought I was and I'm not. Well, you know what? I'd rather have you understand that than to live the rest of your life in some sort of a deception when someone perhaps tells you that it doesn't matter what you believe. All roads lead to God. That's not what the Bible says. Well, technically, all roads do lead to God. In the end, all men will stand before God. But there's only one road that leads to heaven. And Jesus said, not Calvary Chapel, not First Baptist Church, not the Methodists or the Lutherans, not the Catholics or the whatevers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. So to know what the Bible teaches is to know doctrine. And your faith, by the way, Christian, is defendable. Did you know that? We don't have to be afraid. Those of you who are going off to college, I guess some of you are not even, well, you're not even here right now. You already left. We said goodbye to some friends. They've already left. Off to school, off to college. But listen, last Sunday I was talking to Maria, and we know her. She's a friend of our family. She's going off to, it was either the University of California at San Francisco or Berkeley or one of those places. And when I heard that, I love this girl. We love Maria. And I said, Maria, you've got to hang on to your Bible, honey. You're going into a place, they look for Christians. They put barbecue sauce on Christians. They eat Christians alive. It's so liberal. And they expect the Christian to come, and every professor loves it. Oh, here comes a Christian. It will come out in the first few classes. How many of you, just to get the feel of the class, they'll ask, how many of you have certain types of persuasions? What about sexual orientation? Let's get it all out right now in our class, first start of the day. Here we are. How many of you are this or that in your sexual orientation? They're going to talk about it. They're going to talk, and they deliberately wiggle it in right near the end as though it's nothing, like they don't care. And oh, by the way, how many of you believe in God? Oh, that's wonderful, because remember, 90% of the class is going to believe in God. But that professor most often will wiggle his way through to find out which one of those students believe in the Bible, believe that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again from the dead, and that student is marked. Our faith is defendable. We need to know how to defend our faith. Apologetics. You don't have to go to a course to be gifted or empowered to exercise that apologetics, the word meaning to state your defense, not to apologize for being a, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I've taken a class in apologetics. I apologize. That's not what it means. To apologize means to state your case. An apologist puts forth his defense for what he believes. Christian, our faith is accurate. You don't need to be ashamed of your faith. Our faith is accurate, and it's a wonderful faith because it's based upon fact. That's a fantastic thing. Our faith is founded upon fact. Our faith is accurate. Our faith is logical. When you study the Bible, it's logical. When you look at the world around you and the observable universe, it's logical. Our faith is reasonable. Our faith is so reasonable that when someone's in dire need or there's a horrible situation taking place, there's only one thing that brings peace and comfort to them, and that's the gospel. Many of you are young, but some of you maybe have experienced tragedies in life, or when someone's passing, getting ready to die, it's the gospel that brings them peace and comfort. Why? It's reasonable. There's something, as we'll see tonight, that rings true to the heart when it's searching for God. And the answer comes, and it's a biblical answer. Our faith results in practical, powerful, purposeful living because it's a real faith. A faith that is according to the scripture. Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jude said that he found it necessary to write to his audience, to the church, to exhort them to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. The stability of the faith. There is a rising tide, as we've mentioned, of secularism, but I like to call it secular religions, where it's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Evolution is a secular religion. Did you know that? It's a belief system. By the way, you may be in here tonight. You may be an atheist. I got news for you. You're a very religious person. You really are. You have a structure. You have some belief method that you cling to. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Do you have anything that you believe in that you'll argue and defend? If you do, you have a religion. It could be communism. It could be atheism. It could be an agnostic. You could be an imperialist. Or whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. You may be a car salesman. And that's your meaning in life. And you go around and you tell everybody, you need to become a car salesman. That's what you believe. That's become your argument. That's become your defense. It's what you live for. It's your passion. But what is the end of it? See, there's secular religions that would come, and those secular religions have infiltrated what is called Christianity. Is everybody listening? Are you with me right now? Because here comes ushers, guard the doors. Actually, just open them up and let them go. Because you know what's going on in our secularization of the church and of Christianity? We have psychologized the church. What we're doing is we're saying the Bible is good for this and it's good for that. But when your life is really messed up, you need some Prozac or you need this or that. Now there's a place for that and there's a time for that if you're chemically or whatever the situation is. Don't get me wrong. Some of you may be here tonight and your doctor's giving you that, and there's perfect, good medical reasons. But there are some people that are such conviction of the guilty life they're living. They're convicted. They live a life that they know is contrary to what God wants, and they go about trying to find peace and comfort. There's nothing physically wrong with them, but they try to seek out someone who will tell them they're okay. Did you know that's human nature? We all do it. Did you know that? You look so innocent right now. Who do you hang around with? You hang around people you get along with. And it's really nice to hang around people that say, you know, you're a nice guy. Some sweet old lady last week, she was visiting from Montana. And she says, I listen to you. And it's so funny. I hear your voice, and now I see your face, and you're nothing like you. You don't look anything like you sound like. And I wasn't about to ask her what that meant. But she was excited, believing in the Bible. It was important to her that she gets the word and she opens her scripture and she studies. She has faith. She's trusting in Jesus. She's growing. And according to what I gleaned in that moment, she knows what she believes in. But there's a secular push in what is called contemporary Christianity today. And this is a tragic thing, but this lady was talking about how nothing brought her comfort in life but the Bible. And there are people that are seeking the help of people who can only deal with the mind and soulology. That's where we get the word psychology. It's psuche, mindology, science, mind study, mind delving or getting into the mind. And you know what? Again, some people may benefit from that, but by and large, the bulk is that the human heart will never find peace. You've been made this way. You'll never find peace until you are connected with the God of all peace. And maybe tonight you're going through a tremendous thing in your life and you're angry with what you're here, even hearing right now, because that little blue pill they've given you helps you along. And again, for those who medically need it, that's wonderful. You obey and you do what your doctor's saying in that area. But for some people, you know this is ringing true and you don't like it. I got hope for you. Jesus would say tonight, the Holy Spirit would say tonight, you know what? I want to tell you from my word, God would say, what I want to do in your life and how I want to make your life count. And I want to change your world and make you the happiest you could ever be. And it comes through the gospel. It comes through true biblical Christianity. It's a tremendous thing. The Christian needs to get back to the Bible and to know the reasons why they believe, why we believe. Why are you a Christian? Why am I a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart, sanctifies the word, Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared. Now listen, am I always prepared? The Bible says always be prepared. Are you always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you to give the reason for the hope that you and I have? But do it with gentleness and respect. Can you and I answer, should someone stop us on the streets of New York City? Are you a Christian? How would we respond? According to the statistics, 90% of us would say yes. And then the man asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called, What If? It's the first lesson in this topical series called, What Christians Believe. And if you'll stick with us, I think you're going to love every minute of it. We're just getting started, and there's a lot more to come. So join us again as we continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just recently, Pastor Jack concluded his series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of Joshua, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. You're going to love this whole series on the book of Joshua. Just get it for yourself on MP3 CD, or maybe somebody you're thinking of could use it. Why don't you get it for them? Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.